what's not to love than some good old-fashioned game, video game review? That's basically what the show is, right? I give you a game, see if you like it. Most of you do. The ones that talk anyway. But by all means, if you're interested, I'm pretty sure if you ever have any questions that I'll always cover on the show, feel free to contact me on my Instagram, at Dermonic, DermOnik. But either way, what was I doing this vacation, this holiday break? Now, the one thing I was doing was getting furious over the Game Awards, but that's besides the point. No one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear how I feel that Pizza Town was snubbed, ruthlessly taken away from Providence! But besides that, a bunch of other games got released, kind of haphazardly, like taking out the toxic waste, like that Avatar game. Ubisoft, or whoever made it, I don't care. What are you doing? First of all, I've not met a single person who has watched the Avatar movies ever. They are a mythical creature that are said to exist. They made billions in the box office in the early 2000s, but I don't know who they are. And if I did, I would warn them to the police. They are cryptids in my mind. They are like Bigfoot. I don't know who they are, and this Avatar game came out of nowhere. But that's not the discussion. I will rag on it, though, so give me one moment. Microtransactions, as I will always say, have no place in a $60 game. That much is clear. That much I know. You don't need microtransactions in a $60 game. Now, obviously, if you had like a $2 game, like Balloons Tower Defense 6, that's a good one. That's a good one, and it has some microtransactions, sure. It doesn't ruin the game or anything. But if you make an open world game with the intention of item rarity, or you get -2 on poison attacks, I don't care about percentages. I don't want to do math when playing my games. I'm sure you all missed me so much. But besides the point, I was playing a good open world game over the break. Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Fantastic game. It was so much fun. I spent so much time doing it that I still have not done my G2 yet. But you know what? Hey, that's besides the point. I mean, here's the thing, right? Tears of the Kingdom came out earlier this year, right? Kind of haphazardly. Not really haphazardly. It's just kind of like, oh yeah, we delayed it. Oh, it came out. Nice. Right? Then I got it in June for my birthday. Played a bit of it. Got like one or two of the main bosses done. And then I put it down because I had to go to university. To unfortunate events aside, this game took over most of my break. But before we get into that, let's talk about Breath of the Wild. Because it was the sequel, right? And we have to talk about the sequel and how it compares and how it contrasts to the new remake. Because that's basically what it is. I'll get to that in a second. Now, Breath of the Wild was meant to be a Switch release. However, poor little Wii U was still like in the transitional phase between going to the Nintendo Switch and their console, you know, alterations. They made so much money with the Switch, but that does not, besides the point. My little Wii U could not handle Breath of the Wild. It would stutter. The disc would start like a little pyre. It started warming up. It was not good. I was scared it was gonna explode, if I'm being honest. For as much terrible as much of a journey as my Wii U has been through, I do not think it should have deserved the things I put it through. It was not a good console, to be honest with you. If you can just look up like Nintendo console sales, right? And you'll see that the Wii U, along with the Virtual Boy and all those other, like, kind of half-baked consoles were just left out to dry. 10 million copies sounds like a lot, but when you think of the scale of, like, 100 million, I'm just saying, it's not as good as the new ones. I don't know what they're going to do after the Nintendo Switch. I don't, like, what do they do after this? Are they just going to keep making Nintendo Switches for the rest of time? Because they just keep making, like, they have the OLED now, so it's, like, even better processing power. But that's not why you get a Switch anyway. Processing power was never their strong suit. That was, like, with PlayStation and Xbox, but you got Nintendo products to play Nintendo products, and that's about it. Right, but Breath of the Wild, right? Breath of the Wild was interesting because it like finally broke the mold of all their Zelda games. Before, they were very linear. You could argue Wind Waker to be a little contender for the open worldness, but I beg to differ. If you describe open worldness as a bunch of oceans, just a bunch of, it's just salt water. That's all it is. I do love that game, though. I want to play that one again, but it's the boat mechanics are not that fun. But it was Breath of the Wild was the first Zelda game to break the mold of their previous predecessors. You could, like, literally go to any point on the map and go there. You can actually, like, traverse landscapes. You can, like, meet, like, little villages. You can go on an actual adventure this time. Whoa. It took them 30 years to do that? No, I'm just kidding, but the main gameplay loop revolved around the powers they give you at the start, right? Which were extremely gimmicky. And what I mean by that is, one of the powers allows you, when you're next to water, to freeze the water and raise a ice pillar up so you can go a little bit higher in the water. Specifically water. Can't put ice anywhere else. You see what I mean? It's very situational where and when you use your powers in this game. Another one was probably the most useful was probably, I guess, the metal one. The magnet, where you could just pick up all metal objects. But at the end of the day, we'll get to Tears of the Kingdom and how they revolutionized what they put in the original game. Besides the point, right? The powers were gimmicky, but because we didn't know any better, we loved it. The fans love this game. It's like one of the most best-selling Zelda titles in history. Because it was simplistic, in a sense, you know? Like, it's the idea that, oh yeah, there's a tower in the distance, and there's a bunch of goblins in front of me. I kill the goblins, and oh, there's a tower in the distance. I mark that on the map, and I go to that tower, and oh, what's this? There's a village nearby. I can trade some of my gems I got in that nearby mine back a little bit further back, like 10 minutes ago, and sell them and get some rupees, and I can buy, like, get some cool armor, maybe? And I keep going to that tower. Oh, look, I beat a boss. That's cool. Like, you just keep running into stuff. It's so much fun. Game's like, it was like no other Zelda game. The only issue with this game, right? There's two issues with this game, right? First of all, its open worldness kind of was it's a bit stretched out. Here's the thing, right? You have an entire landscape, an entire continent, where you have all these, like, pre-marked landmarks and all that kind of stuff. What do you put in the middle? You could put boss battles, sure. You can put, like, some mines, maybe, some mountains, some cool shrines, perhaps. But, like, eventually, you're not going to have enough material to put in the game. Because if you keep shoving it with material, you're going to get too bloated. Or you're just going to have, you're going to run your employees to the ground. What are you going to do then? They're huffing and puffing because you have forced them to fill up the entire map. I think in a sense it does kind of open up kind of like the, what's the word? Immersion. Yeah, that's it. You feel immersed in the experience of Zelda. You can explore Zelda's kingdom. Mainly on horseback. That was like that was the fastest travel. And obviously the fast travel mechanics were pretty nice, but in a sense, you can, like, turn off the map in the corner, like the little GUI, and you could just followed the trails. Like, it was an actual, like, they did good with their world building. They actually knew, like, oh, yeah, we put a sign here to tell you which town is which way, and then you can explore the map that way. You don't even have to use the actual map they give you in the the menus, right? Which I think is pretty neat. It kind of opens up the immersion. Oh, yeah, the immersion. Feel immersed in our game. You see that tower? You can go to that tower. Yeah, you can. You want to beat Ganon right away? You want to beat the final boss right away? Go ahead. Be our guest. Another thing I did over the holidays was watch a bunch of very fast people play very fast games. They call that speedrunning in the business, right? People stream this stuff all the time. They spend countless hours. They spend days, months trying to cut on their times in a specific type of game. Breath of the Wild, as open as it was, allowed you to beat Ganon, the final boss, right away, right? No matter how low leveled you were, no matter if your only weapon was like a twig, you could slap Ganon with that twig as much as you wanted, right? But somehow people beat the game that way. And another mechanic, now I'm going to get into a little spoiled territory, so if you don't want to hear this, be my guest, was the four kind of, what do they call them? You get the Sheikah Slate, right, which is the main like mechanic, and it's kind of like the old technology kind of vibe to it, which is neat. I like that. I like that a lot. And we'll get to why Tears of the Kingdom ruined it, besides the point. You go to these four different, like, animal mech things, like they're animal temple things, which are also really cool in the design, because it's like a little mini temple in a regular Legend of Zelda game, but you can use your Sheikah Slate to control the actual mechanics of the room that you're in. Like, for example, I think one of them had like a tail. I think it was the elephant. You can use its trunk to pour water on the back of itself, and it opened up a secret room or something like that. It's cool puzzle-solving stuff like that that my 10-year-old brain couldn't wrap its head around. Besides the point. I was a bit dumb. Don't make fun of me here. Sorry, the temperature is absolutely whack in this room here. But it was fun. And it's level design, it's temple design, it's puzzles, all that stuff. It was presented new. What sucked is when you beat it, you beat the boss in that temple, you get,
oh, cool, I get a cool power-up where I get get a cool breeze on my back, and I get to jump a little higher. That's so cool. That's so cool. And, oh, and it recharges after 10 minutes? Oh, that's so cool. Oh, gosh, that's so cool. I'm ecstatic. I'm ecstatic. So happy. So happy. Oh, you're telling me that I can use it once or thrice, and then it goes away for 10 minutes of gameplay, and then it comes back? That's so cool. Aw. Breath of the Wild, you spoil me with cool power-up that takes 10 minutes to recharge. Not even in-game. Besides the point. Editor, keep a counter of how many times they say besides the point. No. But, yeah, the power-ups kind of sucked after each temple. Tears of the Kingdom proved on that, as I mentioned before. But, and also the dialogue was very crappy, and it didn't really bode well. To be honest, most of Nintendo's dialogue choices aren't really, like, suited for, like, actual storytelling. Except for maybe, I don't know, like, if you're into Fire Emblem? Is that what it's called? I think so. People are interested in the stories of those. They ship the characters. Much means it's good. But they ship characters of Zelda, too, so I guess that's besides the point. But yeah, another problem I have is the final boss of Breath of the Wild.
You beat Ganon. It's a really cool boss. He's climbing the walls. Calamity Ganon himself is so cool a design because he's just been wreaking havoc for 100 years, and Link finally wakes up and he's like, "Oh, I gotta defeat this guy." He has no clue what's going on. He has no damn clue what's going on, but Link does it anyway because he's the plucky protagonist who defeats anybody, no matter what size they are. But the final boss sucks. Because you're literally just on horseback, and you, oh, hey, Link, you have a bow now, and you can shoot Ganon with it. Oh, you won? Cool. Hey, I'm Zelda, by the way. It's dull. It's boring. I don't like it. But, you know. We'll get to Tears of the Kingdom, don't worry. But a quick little interlude. I base most of my world building in my actual Dungeons & Dragons campaigns on this kind of stuff, because it's really cool. It's just really cool, because, like, the players are expecting to have, like, a on-track story where their decisions don't really matter. But the thing is with Dungeons & Dragons is that the person who's controlling the game, the Dungeon Master, as it's called, isn't a robot. Of course, AI is getting a little bit better now, but, like, it doesn't compete with an actual human who's standing in front of you asking what you can do in the world. So I give my players, like, say, for example, there's, like, smoke in the distance, or there's a tower, a crumbling tower that's covered in moss about 100 feet away, and they can go to it and explore it. Obviously, there's a sense of, like, you can't really make a complete game that's completely open, because it would require you to actually, like, see what you're doing, and most of the game is just being described to you, but that's the fun part about it. You can do whatever you want with it. So if a player asks you, hey, is there this nearby? And you can just tell them. You can, like, say, roll an intelligence check. And then from there, they can figure out if it's there or not. Or they can find a place where it is there. Because I made the world, and they can just go there. It's like loading chunks in Minecraft. You go there, and it loads the world, and then eventually you just find it. You keep walking in a certain direction, and you'll find something interesting, you know? And if they don't find anything interesting, taking it from Zelda's book again, put a random NPC there. Hey. The Yiki Clan's cool. They disguise themselves as regular passengers, little civilians, and then they attack you after you talk to them, which is pretty neat. I think they kind of expand on it in Tears of the Kingdom too, but either way. I think Breath of the Wild is pretty cool, because I loved that game as a kid. I made it my wallpaper and everything. I was a Zelda kid by heart. I, even though I only had like 3 of the games, like it was bad how much I liked Zelda. Wind Waker 2 was an interesting one because it was kind of like, it was on rails, but you can go to any island at any time, and it was kind of like puzzle solving in that regard. Where you had to, like, have this specific item to do this specific thing at this specific island. And then, whoa, you did the thing at the island, and you defeated the boss. That's great. Here's a heart piece. Anyway, next task. And it's like, I still haven't beaten it. I'll come clear. My conscience has been resolved. I have not beaten Wind Waker yet. Because it just, I think it kind of slowed down. I had to look up way too many walkthroughs. I'm probably going to beat it over the summer. But right now, way too busy. Way too busy. Not enough time for video games, honestly. What's going on? I thought this term was supposed to be easier. But no. Alright. So. Tears of the Kingdom. Tears of the Kingdom. The main talking point of this entire thing. So, writing some extra notes, don't mind me. I'm rusty, okay? Come on, catch me a break here. Let me actually open the window real quick. It's getting a little stuffy in here. Play the little Zelda jingle. All So, Tears of the Kingdom. What does it improve? What does it not improve? Right? Here's the thing. I say it's a little bit unfair to say that Tears of the Kingdom deserves to be, like, the best game of this year, because, or last year, technically, because it's, like, it's building off Breath of the Wild. They already had Breath of the Wild, and they had all the locations already set out. All they had to do was rip out all the old stuff and put some new stuff in, right? They had the exact same stable locations, the exact same town locations. Everything's about the exact same, except new powers. Oh, yeah, new powers. I could rattle these off for hours, but we don't have hours, do we? So I'll just lay it out quickly for you, right? In Tears of the Kingdom, you're given a cool magical arm implant that gives you, I think it's 5 special abilities. I forget. I'll rattle them off real quick, right? First of all, Ultra Hand, right? Or is it, yeah, whatever. God Hand, Ultra Hand, whatever it's called. Allows you, remember in the old game where you can only pick up metal objects with your cool Sheikah Slate? Now you can pick up any object that's pick-up-upable, right? You can pick up any object. And you can slap it, you can glue it onto any other object. And you know why this is so much fun? Because they give you a whole arsenal of different gizmos to slap onto it. So the first thing they give you, obviously, is like a little fan that allows you to push off of it. That's like your basic, most useful one, right? You can make anything out of that, basically. People make hovercrafts, flying, heat-seeking drones, that kind of stuff, right? But there's so many other ones, too. There's rockets. There's little stakes you can stake into the ground, and they are unmovable unless you move them with your Ultra Hand. There's unmovable platforms that whenever you activate them, they stay in place, like hovering in the air, right? There's hydrants. There's fire. There's fire extinguishers, fire flamethrowers, shock emitters. Whew! I could rattle off of that forever, but basically, it allows you to make anything, right? People make, like, TIE fighters from Star Wars in this game. You can literally do anything. It's the toolbox that they give you is so vast and so much fun. You can just make anything with it. Like, you can literally just slap on 2 fans and a little steering stick, and you can make the green goblin copter from Spider-Man. And then whenever I get on and I say, "So long, Spider-Man!" Like Willem Dafoe. Like my hero, Willem Dafoe. Gosh, why was he taken away from us so soon? But anyway, that's one of the powers. Another power is Fuse, which allows you to take any item in the game and fuse it with any weapon in the game. Because the gimmick in this one is that Ganon has been released again. Uh-oh. And he rusted everyone's equipment. Uh-oh. My metal's rusty now. Uh-oh. So what do? You slap a boulder on it. Yeah. Yeah, slap a boulder on your stick. Or your sword. Or your pike. Or whatever you want to make. A sledge. Whatever cool weapon you want to make out of it. Most of the bosses give you, like, cool new items to slap onto your weapons anyway, so it's really fun to deal with that. Right? Next one is reversing power, because in the other game, it seems like every single one of these powers kind of is building off the previous one, except for the freezing water one, because that one sucks. That one just sucks. I don't care what anyone says. I never use it. Anyway, the next item is, what was it again? Oh yeah, reversing time. You can literally take any object that's in motion and reverse it to a specific point in time and following its trajectory back in time, right? So say I throw a ball, I can cast a time power on it and it comes back to me, right? Or I shoot a catapult in the air. And I can come back to me, and then I can ride the catapult into the sunset. Fun stuff like that, you know? And it has more, like, practical uses, too. So, say, you fall off your plane, and you can catch it in midair and eventually, like, reverse it to the time where it was back at your spot and then be able to ride it again without wasting materials. Stuff like that. It's just kind of neat in the way they present it. Next one is Ascension. I lied, because there is a replacement for the cold, stupid, cold, freezy water power. It's Ascension, which is so much better! Because it makes sense, right? The main theme about this game isn't really, like, about ingenuity. It's more about just, like, opening... It's basically just about, like, traversing, right? I'll get to it in a second, but you'll see what I mean. Basically, this allows you to meld into the ground and, like, go up. You go up, you know? Like, if there's a roof over your head, you can ascend right through it and pop out at the top, right? Perfect when you're in a cave system and you don't have any other way to get out. Just right to the top, right? It's fantastic. I love it. And the final power, I think this is the final power, I'm not too sure, but whatever, it doesn't matter, is auto build. Remember the first power, Ultra Hand, where you can make anything using your cool little gizmos they give you. Now, you can save those gizmos into a neat little library of gizmos, and you can pull them out at any time. You don't even have to use the resources. You don't have to put the gizmos down. You could. It saves you Zonite, which is the new currency in this game. But you literally can just use Zonite, which is a dime a dozen in the new underground part of the game, right? So, moving on. There are two new maps they added to the game. There's the Sky map, which has all the floating islands that were released when you awoke again and again. And the Underground map, which came from all the holes that Ganon is putting in the ground, like cavities. So, right, here's the thing. I love the idea of the Sky Islands. They're so much fun, right? Because you're literally just flying on your copter, and you're like, oh, what's that island? You mark it on your map, and you go there, and you can literally, like, if you upgrade your battery cell enough, you can get to basically any island in the game. I didn't realize this until, like, 100 hours in, that you could upgrade your battery, like, more than what they give you, because you could just beat a few bosses in the Underdark, and then bada bing, bada boom, you got, like, a full battery. But besides the point, you can float, you can fly to any island using your cool little fan plane. Stick a few fans on a plane, the gizmo, and then glide to anything, any island in the game. A lot of them are pretty cool. A lot of them are really neat, right? They have really neat designs, and I like them a lot. Problem is when they use the designs and they copy and paste them. I thought you learned your lesson, Nintendo. Oh yeah, you heard me, Nintendo. I know you listen to the show, Nintendo. I know that you listen to the show, and I will rue the day. Stop patenting stuff, okay, Nintendo? Stop copywriting YouTubers.
Okay, Nintendo?
Nintendo. Hey, Nintendo, I'm talking to you. I hate you. I love your games, but I hate you. Hey, Nintendo. Nintendo! Nintendo, wakey wakey! Nintendo! Nintendo, your porch is getting cold. Anyway. The point that I'm trying to is that they copy and paste a lot in the Sky Islands, right? That's the main problem with the Sky Islands. There's so many launch points that act the exact same way, and the only difference is the little gacha minigames that you can put, like, little robot bits inside of and get new gizmos from it. But other than that, there's not a lot to them. And it was sad, because I was like, oh, this is the exact same thing I saw, like, on the other side of the map.
Oh. It's unfortunate, really. Like,
what are you gonna do, right? And I thought, like, the Underdark was going to be a bit better, but, you know, it's the problem is that, like, even though there's, like, cool little landmarks, like the Lycan, where was it, Linen tournament arc thing, where you have to fight four Linens? I think they're called Linens, like the half-horse, half minotaur, half lion, half human thing. It's like two. Doesn't matter. It is so stuffy in here. I'm so sorry. Listening audience, I am so sorry from the bottom of my heart. It's just... Even with the window open, it's musty in here. I feel like I'm in the core of the earth right now. Okay. The main problem with the underground, right? The underground levels of the game is that it's the same biome, right? With the Sky Islands, you have their own cool little gimmicks on each island, for the most part, except for the copy and paste ones. And on the ground, they added so much more, because they already had a baseline for that stuff. And they had, like, 7 years to make it, right? But they had 7 years to make both the Sky Islands and the underground levels. Problem with the underground levels is that it's the exact same biome. There's no cool, like, frosty places, there's no hot places, except for the fire temple, right? And that's another problem I'll get to later. And there's no other, like, interesting landmarks that really separate it and stand out in the game. The only thing I will say is that you can get a cool skeleton horse. I named mine Barry, and we rode around a lot, and then I accidentally killed him. And it was the saddest day of my life. I miss you, Barry. But yeah, there's a rare chance you can find a skeleton horse in the underground, right? And you can ride the skeleton horse, and it goes across the gloom, which is the new little biohazard in the game. But it's other than the cool skeleton horse, which I like a lot, Missy Berry. But other than that, there's not a lot to talk about except for the Yiga Clan side quests, right? That's where you get the new power of the auto build, which is super fun. And you just kind of forget about it. It's kind of a meh experience. I had to grind that a lot because I wanted to get some cool armor, but then I realized it didn't matter. So, there's that. Here's another problem that I have with the game. Why did you gloss over the entire lore and world building of the previous game? There's a new, entirely new race in the game, like, that predates the Sheikah in Breath of the Wild, who gave you the Sheikah Slate and all that stuff. And they never talk about it. They never talk about the Sheikah anymore. It's like they never existed. Which is so sad to me. It's like, you had all this cool world building about Calamity Ganon and how he, like, took over all the robots, right? And you got rid of it with a more, like, disheartening story. You know? It's kind of like a meh story. Like, it's more copy and pasted stuff. It's so disheartening. Like, I was playing the game, and I beat the first temple. I was like, yeah, cool characters I've seen before. Neat. Hopefully they talk about the Sheikah. No, they don't. It's the same copy and pasted stuff over and over again. You go to each of the four bosses, you beat the bosses. Oh, look. It's the same sage talking to the person who's like, oh, what are secret stones? Oh, what's this basic lore-building gimmick? MacGuffin that doesn't matter and never did matter until this game came out because you've made up new stuff. Just build it off the rest like you did with this game. Come on. It's like you have a perfect like baseline for a story where you can build off of it and you can intertwine the two different like technological powerhouses in the ancient era. But no, you just get rid of the Sheikah entirely. What sense does that make? Nintendo, did you eat your porridge today? I know your gums are getting a little bit rusty, but, you know, I gotta eat your porridge. But, yeah, I think that the dialogue sucks, like the other game as well, but more so because they blatantly copy and paste every single final boss in each of the temples, which sucks because I was hoping for, like, more development on the characters. The most interesting one is the Gorons. Because it kind of builds off of that. But, like, once you break off the cool, like, mind shield controlling device that Ganon put on him, it kind of just falls apart. And, like, oh, no, we gotta beat the specific sub-boss in this area. Whoop-de-doo. So exciting.
No, it's not. It's not exciting. I'm sorry.
And I guess the final thing to talk about this would be the final boss, like the other one, right? Because the final boss also sucks. It's a set piece. That's all it is. You have all the built-in powers, right? Of... It's like, oh yeah, you went to all four shrines. Cool. Now you can beat up some goblins. Isn't that cool? Oh, look, there's like so many goblins. Oh, you killed them all because you're like overpowered and you know, it doesn't matter anymore? That's cool. It's like kind of a slap in the face in a way because it's like I've spent so much hours in this game. The middle part is the best part. The beginning is slow because it's like the introduction and you're getting all your powers like in a timely fashion, which is makes sense. The middle part's the best part because you can explore the entire world again, but like with more stuff in it. And then the ending kind of just falls flat on itself because you defeat the goblins, you defeat whatever else that Ganon puts in your way. Then you beat Ganon because he's a little wimp, even though he's been spending like thousands of years in stasis, right? Which kind of makes sense because he's a bit rusty. Like me right now. And it is a stupid gimmick with the health bar, and you know, you can play the game yourself, yada, yada, yada. And then, oh, he turns into a dragon. I don't care about spoiling it. It's not the thing to spoil anyway. I knew you'd turn into a dragon. Ganon turns into dragon. You have cool fight. With Zelda on your side. Oh, that's so cool. Oh, man, that's so cool. Oh, you have to hit the specific spots and you can't die in this? Oh, that's so cool. I was hoping for, like, a challenge. Like, how come I go to, like, a random goblin infested place and I die, like, three times? And I didn't die once in the Ganon fight in the final battle. What sense does that make? I was hoping to be a bit more hard, but, like, no. Oh, yeah, you win the game. Cool. I will admit, and I hate to admit this, but the post-credit scene is the most sentimental part of the game. Now, you could see a bit of a problem with this. I see a bit of a problem with this. Mainly, why did you put the most sentimental part of your game at the end where people are probably going to go and get a snack or something because they've been playing for like 48 hours straight or something? I don't know. Like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry. Now, it does get me curious, if you don't go to any of the sages and you don't activate their powers, does that actually trigger? That's a good question, but so that's the point, right? I do think out of all the sages, out of all the temples, I think the spirit temple is probably the most fun out of all of them, but it's like, you know. That's because you get a mech, all right? I'm not going to go further than that because it was so cool when I got it. Obviously, I wish their powers were a little bit more powerful because it is kind of a cumbersome being. It's better off just being on by your side instead of riding it, but like, you know, having a mech in your game, just put a mech in your game and it makes it better. How many times do I have to say this? Gosh, it's crazy to me. Just put a cool ass robot in your video game and whoa, it makes your game better. I didn't know that. It's almost like it's cool or something. It's almost like it's like if it makes it infinitely cooler if you put like a robot in your game. I don't know. Just a thought. Just a thought. I'm putting a robot in every single one of my games. I don't care. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care if they criticize me or call me a nerd or something. I'm putting a robot in every single one of my games and there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing. But anyway. The final Ganon fight sucks. But what did I like about this game? Well, it was everything in between. That's the fun part, right? Because there's so much stuff crammed in this little game. Like, I enjoyed kind of going out and just, like, searching what I can do. Finding out, like, the limits of, like, the creation stuff. Seeing what other people made. That's the fun part, you know? Seeing all the memes came out of it, too. Like, the Korok torture devices. That's funny. I like those. Granted, I'm a better person. I would never torture those cute little fellas. But, like, Yeah, it's just it's funny to see them on a. I won't go there. You can look it up yourself. But yeah, no, there's so much fun stuff you can do in this game. And it just makes Link's character so much more funny because it's you see the meme of like, Link is gonna save us. Me, Zelda, I think that Link is the best person. And you just see him like in a fighter jet, like taking down a bunch of bunch of goblins in his like in his fighter jet, just rocketing the hell out of them. Oh, it's so much fun. So much fun what you can do this game. The shrines, too, are really cool, right? Because there's, like, stuff that you don't realize in the game that you can do until you go to one of these shrines. And you're like, oh, you can do that? Like I think one of them was, like, the shield surfing stuff. Like, all the everything that has to do with, like, stuff you can attach to your shield. And then, like, for example, a bomb. You can put a bomb on it. You can put a cool car on it, and you could ride around. It's an actual just you could just skateboard in the game. Tony Hawk Pro Skater Zelda game.
Why are they sleeping on this? Come on.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater Zelda game would be so cool. I'm gonna be sick tomorrow probably, but it doesn't matter. We're in the present right now, and I'm thinking about Tony Hawk Pro Skater Zelda game. I'm frothing at the mouth right now. But yeah, no, there's so much stuff you can do in this game. Like you can customize yourself up the wazoo. You can do whatever build you'd like. You can attach stuff to other stuff and see what the hell happens. It's pretty neat. And there's a lot of glitches in the game, and it just opens up the cavernous hole that is the speedrunning community. Because in the previous game,
right,
you had, like, one option, right? You use your stasis power, right? You whack the, a boulder a bunch of times. You ride that boulder up to Hyrule Castle, and you defeat Ganon, right? Simple, clean, and done, right? In this game, first you have to beat the tutorial, which is takes a long time. It's like at least like, I'd say like 20 minutes for speedrunner, obviously. And then you see all the duplication glitches and all the, like the fast traveling glitches you can do with like the, they put like two planks on a, in the, how do I describe this? They put two planks in the auto builder, it glitches out so you can ride the planks and it just allows you to walk on the land. It just allows you to walk in the sky. It's so funny. Just watch a few of those. It's a treat. It's a treat to see what they can do, how they break the game and all that. Obviously, Nintendo patched it because they don't like fun. But in me and my personal gameplay experience, I've never encountered like one glitch except for one time where something was stuck in the sky until I went close to it, and then it fell out of the sky. So it was like, eh. Out of 100 hours of gameplay, just that one glitch, it's like,
perfect, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, I think we're almost at time. So I thank you for sticking by in my rusty state, in my rusty little goblin form. My diseased goblin form. I hope you had a bit of fun. I don't know what I'm going to do next time, so if you have any suggestions, please send them my way. Got any cool games, if you want to come on the show, maybe. We can host something. Even if you can't come on Thursdays, we can record something, perhaps, and I could just slap it on there, and I can talk over it. Neat stuff like that I can do. I can't do it, so it's up to you. Whatever you want to do, listener. And with that, I think I'll head out, so hopefully you had a good time. I do have 2 more minutes before I just cue the ending music, so I was thinking of adding like a little link I could add to the playlist so that you can listen to all the playlists, but I don't know how to do that with folders, and I think Spotify is a little too unintuitive for that to happen, so I think I'll just find a way eventually. Maybe I'll just have like a folder where you can look at all the links and figure it out that way. But besides the point, I don't know if you really like the music anyway. Just let me know. Let me know. If you want to hear some music, I can put it on. It's up to you. Don't even have to pay for it. It's free. I'll give you your music for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay.
Anyway, I think this is it. I think we are done. I appreciate you coming along, and I will see you guys next week. It's on Thursdays now. Make sure you attend. Stay around. Bye-bye.